Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and Valentine's, it's this weekend, and so many of you are out getting so many wonderful goodies for that special person in your life. It's a wonderful, wonderful holiday to celebrate, and our guest today, Dr. Bonnie Whale, is going to be that person that's going to be giving us some tips on how we can make up and not break up, how to find and keep love for yourself if you're single, and also if you already have that special commitment in your life. Dr. Bonnie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Donna. How are you?
Well, I'm absolutely magnificent, even though here in the Pacific Northwest, we are being poured upon. Of course, that's typical. That's what we're known
for. I'm so sorry, because we've been getting the snow, the other part of it, you know, so it's just beautiful today. Well, this wonderful snow, just perfect for Valentine's Day.
Absolutely. Makes it nice and cozy. Now, Dr. Bonnie, you have really been involved in working with people, you might call it dealing with the battle of the sexes for a number of years. You have been featured on all kinds of programs. You've been on Oprah's show more than once. You've just been involved in communication with both the men and women of this world. And I'd like to just ask you a little bit of a personal question. To get into this positioning where this is your focus on helping people really understand about relationships and that they might seem to be Cinderella stories, but the knight usually ends up with tarnished armor and it creaks, and Cinderella's petticoat is often not in too good a shape and her hair droops. So how did you get involved with getting past all of this stuff and dealing with the real deal?
Well, this is really a great question because I've been doing this since I'm seven, because my father was an adulterer, and my mother and my father actually loved each other so much, and I watched them work really hard, and my mother used to say, you have to work hard and play hard. And for 25 years, my father cheated, and the next 25, he got his act together, got the right kind of help because of me when I went to school and learned all this. So I've actually been practicing this since I'm very little. And then also when I met my wonderful husband, who had commitment issues, and I found out that I also had commitment issues because of what happened with my parents. And so I began to learn how to do these smart heart skills and dialogues that I teach people in my seminars and my therapy and in my books when I was dating my husband. So a lot of the things in the book and in my life are actually things that I learned from my husband, because he was also a little bit wounded, and so we learned from each other. So, like, for instance, when we would be afraid when we first met, you know, to get really close and connected, he would say, well, why don't we just hold hands when we get scared? So that's an example, and that's one of the things that I tell people, is to talk about your fears, you know, really early on in the relationship, that these smart heart skills and dialogue, actually, Donna, are the glue. Even when a relationship is new, and that's how you can make sure that you don't stop a relationship before it starts. So all of these tried and tested theories I have experienced firsthand, professionally and personally.
You know, Dr. Bonnie, when you're talking about this, I think of so many situations, being in a counselor myself, I think of the men and women that I've encountered that they're introduced to someone, and the next thing you know, they're talking about the 16 children that they're going to have, and the other person that's sitting across from them is getting paler and paler by the moment. And they just go, oh, no.
Right.
And I think people have watched so many soap operas. I had to chuckle. It wasn't too long ago. Someone said that they hadn't watched Days of Our Lives for about 20 years, and they happened to be in the hospital for some reason. That was the only thing that they could watch on television. They said, good Lord, I didn't realize it was the same show. They've just changed the costumes.
No, you know, it's so funny because that's really how I got started. When I was little, I used to sit on Grandma's lap, and she used to watch soap operas. Mm-hmm. And I used to say, Donna, I used to say to her, Grandma, why do all these people have babies with, you know, people that are other people? And why are these people, they're not married, and they're having babies, and why are they always fighting? So that's when I decided that I wanted to grow up and become a therapist someday and help other people. But you're absolutely right. Things haven't changed all that much. People have the same problems. It's just that they don't know how to handle them and they don't know how to deal with them.
And I think, don't you, that there is so much of a mystique. We seem to think that that somewhere there is going to be this Mr. or Ms. Wonderful that is totally perfect and we will never, ever, ever have a problem. That lasts for what, about maybe 24 hours?
Well, that's actually right. You got that right. It's supposed to be 18 months, but I've never.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've heard that, you know, it's called the honeymoon. I call it the honeymoon stage. It's the honeymoon stage. Okay, and now it usually lasts between 6 months and 18 months, but, you know, people see this power struggle sooner. But I do think, Donna, that's the problem with all the relationships that you see, that we want this honeymoon, euphoria, this what we think when we have when we first fall in love, and we want that forever. And that's why I think there's so many affairs, and I think people have to realize that we pick a person who's going to give us the most trouble. And that is really how it's supposed to be.
Oh, now that's an interesting approach. We're going out deliberately to look for that whatever that's going to give us the most trouble. Are you sure? Man, my apple would go up over that one.
I am absolutely positive. And, you know, that is why we have second marriages. This really blew my mind because when I was researching to make the book into the second edition, I was blown away because, you know, I always knew that about 50% of couples, you know, get divorced. But the second marriages, in the new statistics, 66% of second marriages get divorced, and 70% of third marriages get divorced. So I have been researching this, and I have found that the reason there's so many divorces is because we get rid of a person thinking we're going to get rid of our problem. But because you're supposed to pick a person who gives you the most trouble, because that person's supposed to challenge you, you're picking that person unconsciously because you want to be challenged in the area that you need to be challenged in. You're trying to work out unresolved childhood conflicts, unfinished business from childhood, and the person you pick has the clues to help you if you stay. But most people leave when it gets hard instead of working at it, and you've got to really work harder, as my mom said. You both have to work harder when it gets difficult because that's the rocky road of any relationship. But we give up too soon. We go to a new person and look at the statistics. In fact, only 1 to 3% of people that have an affair marry the lover. And out of the 1 to 3%, 75% of those marriages break up.
Mm-hmm. Very true. They are in love with the fantasy, not the reality. So when the reality really hits, they go, whoops, my little bubble burst.
That's exactly right, because what happens is I really believe that we have to learn skills. Okay, skills is what I've been trying to tell people. We have to learn skills, and we have to learn tools, skills, and dialogues. That is what we really have to learn to stay in love. And because people think, you know, it's natural to stay in love. It's not natural. It's natural to fall in love because when you fall in love, the hormones are doing the work and the hormones, you don't have to figure out how to have a conflict and resolve it. But after the hormones die down, after about 6 months to 18 months, you have to learn skills and dialogue of how to resolve a conflict knowing that you picked a person who is supposed to give you the most trouble. And if you look at it that way, you're not going to keep looking for Mr. Right. So many people have met Mr. Right. Like I have a lot of patients that are on, say, you know, chemistry.com or match.com or JDate. They're looking for dates on the internet. And one of my patients just told me the other day, he said, you know, I have been looking and looking and looking for the right woman. I've met about 7 or 10 of them, but because I didn't know the skills and the dialogues, I didn't know that was the right person. So So we meet the right person because the right person is really the wrong person based on what I just said.
Well, I think you're going to have some of my listeners saying the wrong person. I'm married to a real jerk. I'm going through all kinds of things. Now, when we're talking about this, I think we need a little bit of clarification. If you're with someone who's an abuser, someone who's in alcoholism or in drug abuse or whatever, you're dealing with a different scenario. We are talking about a situation where someone ends up doing something and you're just saying, oh, you're just so thoughtless. I just don't get it. Why don't you, why aren't you like, why don't you do what Tom Cruise did in the movie, blah, blah, blah. And the poor spouse is looking at you and saying, I haven't even seen that cotton picking movie. I can't stand the guy. Why do you want me to be like Tom Cruise?
You actually brought up a very important point. If someone is abusing you emotionally or physically, or is an alcoholic, a schizophrenic, a drug addict, an adulterer who will not get help and change, of course then you have to walk away. But we're talking about, like my mentor used to say, Dr. Fogarty, if you look in the mirror, it's the same thing when you look at your partner. If you criticize your partner, you're criticizing yourself because you picked that person to help you work out some issues. So that's what we're talking about. We're saying it has to be tension. And by the way, tension is what gives us passion. Mm-hmm. You cannot have a good relationship without fighting fairly and being able to fight. In fact, the couples that do not do well are polite couples, and those are the ones that have the highest incidence of adultery.
Now, so let's talk about fighting here. I like the term fighting here. Now, fighting does not mean that you're going to get the knives out of the kitchen, kitchen at each other. What we're talking about here is a verbal exchange where you have healthy communication. Now, I come from Italian background, and some of the exposure I had when I was growing up, there'd be these people that had these explosive conversations, and that's not my demeanor, but I'd listen to this, and then after they were finished, I'd say, well, what do you want to eat? Well, I think I'll have a cheese sandwich. Okay, all right, that's fine. And they walk around just everything's fine. They just have this blow up, and they didn't stay angry. And then there are other people, when they're fighting, my goodness, I mean, it's like Razor City. So you have these variables. You've got something in your book called Fighting Fair. Let's talk about that for a bit. What is fighting fair? I mean, what is fair in fighting?
Well, that's a great point that you made just a few minutes ago. And see, fighting is healthy, okay? But fighting fair means that we fight not below the belt. Fighting means because it's going to increase your passion. If you fight fairly, which means you're fighting with a safety valve. Okay, safety meaning you make an appointment, time limited, with permission. Okay, and I say time limited because men have a physiological discomfort towards fighting. My husband's up to 10 minutes, Donna, after 20 years of marriage, and most of the time he used to start with 30 seconds. Men actually have a physiological discomfort, meaning they start sweating, their head throbs, they might get a stomach ache. It's from the old days. So their brain circuitry is set up for when they used to go out and kill the lions and the tigers. So fight and flight, they had to get out of there. So their brain circuitry is not made for sitting and having long discussions, which women love to do, and wonder why the man walks out of the room. So you have to ask for an appointment, and it shouldn't be, when he comes home from work. It should be after he's eaten something so he's more relaxed. And it has to be, if you ask for an appointment, it has to be what's good for him. Now, the good news is he's got to let you know within 24 hours. He cannot just blow it off like a lot of guys stonewall and they'll just shut down and they won't talk. In 24 hours, he's got to get back to you with an idea or a decision or something like that. Now, time limit means about 10 minutes, and then he gets timeouts because of the fact that I said he has physiological discomfort. And after you're doing this, the first thing that you do is you sit down and you say whatever it is that's bothering you. Your partner repeats it back without editorializing, no putting their own spin on it, and they repeat it back, and then they walk in your shoes. That's the most important thing. This is what prevents divorce, is walking in the other person's shoes.
Now, how are they going to do that? I've known men that you could do something like that with, and you'd say, okay, and now you're saying walk in the shoes. How in the blue blazes are they going to walk in your shoes?
Well, walking in the shoes doesn't mean you agree. Walking in the shoes means that you could understand. There's a couple words we use on it. One is you could understand or it makes sense, but not from your perception, from the other person's perception. So whoever it is that's validating has to walk in the shoes of the other person the way they think the other person is feeling, not the way they feel. And this teaches men who have a very hard time with this because men are more logical. They're rational, they're logical. It's a good balance with women who are more emotional. So a lot of times men have trouble with empathy and validation because they don't really understand it if it doesn't make sense logically. So we're talking more about validation of feelings. And feelings do not have any true, false, good, bad, right, or wrong to them. So when you say that to a man, he'll understand and say, oh, okay, so you're not talking about logic. Say, no, we're just talking about feelings, that her feelings have nothing to do with what's right or wrong. It's not about facts, it's about feelings. And then when you say that, they usually understand it. And after the validation comes the most important part, which is the behavior changes that your partner is looking for. Otherwise, they wouldn't be giving you a fighting fair dialogue in the first place. And those three behavior changes, I love this part. It's actually more for narcissistic, which are selfish people, because usually a patient will say, well, I don't want to pick either of them. And you can't do that because a narcissistic person will tell you they want to make up their own. They have to pick at least one and up to three. And obviously the more behavior changes that you do, the better the climate of the relationship becomes, and then that person's willing to also do something for you. So you have to pick one, and you can't change it, and you can't argue and power struggle over why you don't want to do it. And then when it's the other person's turn, then they go, and then they pick the different behavior changes as well.
Well, I'll tell you what, you know something that I have found that has been an excellent asset, and I've been married for 33 years, and it took me a while, and that is laughter.
Oh, yes.
I have found that that is great, and then I learned something years ago from a woman who was in a relationship with a man who was very dogmatic, and she was highly educated, super intelligent gal. And she had this male partner that would always try to dominate, and she got tired of fighting, and so whenever he would come up with certain things, she said, you know what, you could be right. And then she would just walk away from it. And he would try to dominate everything, and she'd deflate him every single time when she said, you know what, you could be right. She didn't agree with him, but she said, you could be.
Right. Well, this is the same thing. This is what I'm talking about. That's validating. Because when you validate someone, you say, you know what, that makes a lot of sense. That doesn't
mean
I'm going
to say that.
Right, yeah, it's the same thing. I mean, that's wonderful that she figured that out because she deflated it. You know, it's like if someone said, well, you know, I think you're a spendthrift, and then you say, you know, it makes a lot of sense that you feel that way. Now, I'm not agreeing with you, but I'm not saying that. See, most people will say, I don't agree with you. And as soon as you say that, you have a power struggle on your hands. Now, the important thing to know is that the power struggle is the second stage after the honeymoon stage. You cannot get to real-life love, which is what my parents got to. And they got to it with a lot of hard work and a lot of effort, a lot of nurturing and cultivating the relationship. But they went from the honeymoon to the power struggle to real-life love. People don't get it. You cannot get to real-life love unless you go through the power struggle. So that woman understood that. She got to the real-life love because she figured out a way not to power struggle. And you said something very important about the humor. Now, after the behavior changes, we do what we call high-energy play. And that means you have to do something fun, like tickle the person or give them a massage or make love. My husband likes to dance me around the room. Like, after we have a disagreement, he dances me around the room. And that actually gets the endorphins going, where the dopamine and the serotonin and all the good things that make you feel really high go higher when you do something. It's like doing exercise. So that's very important after a fight because you feel very down. You need to do something like jumping up and down, jogging together, anything that you can do, pillow fight, anything fun that makes you laugh is very, very important and really good for your brain chemicals.
I agree with that. Now, let's talk about people that are just starting out in relationships. I was somewhere just in the past couple of days, and I was in a position where you couldn't help hear what people were talking about, and they're saying, ooh, I just found this person on the internet, and I found this person on the internet, and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, you hear these different things, and there's so much of a fantasy that we build up, and then these individuals go out and meet each other, and it's like maybe somebody's used a photograph that wasn't really real, or they have, I think men and women both will, again, they've got this magical whatever, Prince Charming or Cinderella that they're looking for, and they then meet the people, and they really don't want to give them a chance. Well, I think there are times when you can read other individuals and say, no way, this isn't going to work for me at all. That is something that is there. But it's fascinating to me, in today's world, where we have gotten so involved with technology, it's almost as if the human interaction, the young generations are just at a loss. I mean, I'm hearing these conversations and I say, well, don't you just go out and have a cup of coffee, or well, why don't you go out and get an ice cream cone somewhere, or just talk? And they go, oh, well, we're on the computer. And I go, oh, what, you know, being on a computer and pushing buttons is a heck of a lot of difference from sitting across the breakfast table with someone.
That's exactly right, and you're so right on this. This is what I tell people, that it really takes away from the intimacy. I'm not in favor of emails. I was just on the phone with someone. I do phone therapy, and I'm amazed. Every time I get on the phone with somebody, I hear, well, I emailed this guy that I like, and we went out a couple of times. I go, why do you keep emailing him? Why don't you call him on the phone, and why don't you talk to him in person? Now, there's something about the voice that gets the endorphins up,
mm-hmm.
and people hiding behind the email. They're very impersonal. Sometimes they can be misconstrued, and I think the other mistake people make is the people that are married, you know, they do emails during the day, and then they have nothing to talk about at night when they see each other. So I think we're hiding behind this. I think it's one of the ways that people that are distant and disconnected, that don't feel comfortable with intimacy and connectedness and closeness, hide behind. And I think I always tell my women to be the guardian of connection, to make the first move. If they're trying to meet this man, they should meet him right away and not start emailing, you know, for like 2 weeks. Because we're taking away the personal relationship, like you're saying,
mm-hmm.
because we're substituting it for the technology. We're hiding behind it. It's like TV used to be years ago.
Yeah, and it's not going to, you know, the thing is, when you are in a relationship, you are face-to-face with someone. And it's,
right.
you know, you're dealing with everyday exciting things like cleaning the toilet, doing the laundry.
Right, exactly.
I get very down to earth because, again, I have to chuckle. I just look at this, and you have to reach a point of understanding, I think. This is my bias, and I think you present it quite nicely in your book in another way, but it's where you want a committed relationship. That's wonderful, but it's never just a person. It's a couple. You have a family you marry into. You have your baggage that you've carried from the past. I mean, there is a whole slew of stuff. Cultural things can come into the issue. And it really is an adventure. It can be a horrific one. I mean, I had my turn at that myself, so I think anybody who's lived long enough does. And,
sure.
You know, you're going to go through these things, but there comes a time when you have to ask yourself, what is it you really want? And it takes time. It's not something you
want
to mix.
Well, yeah, and I tell people you're a shareholder in a company.
Oh, that's a very good way of putting it.
Yeah, it's just like a shareholder in a company. You know, you can't just do whatever you feel like doing. You have to check in with your partner. That doesn't mean you lose who you are, but it's a whole different way of dealing with things. I mean, I'm working with this new couple. They're going to get married in a few months, And this guy comes in, you know, the other part of the couple, and he's such a nice person. He's really, he's not narcissistic or anything like that, but he just doesn't know because he's used to being a bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, will I be okay? I go, yes. I said, you'll be one of the few people that doesn't have the hardest first year of marriage. That's when most couples break up, because you're going to learn how to live with another person. Like if she would say something, he would say, well, that's no big deal, because it was no big deal to him.
Mm-hmm.
So I was trying to teach him how to walk in her shoes, and he said, oh, well, I only walked in her shoes when I thought it was important or when I thought she was correct. I said, no, it has nothing to do with being right. He just wouldn't pick up on certain things. So it's just teaching somebody something simple like that, that the way you're doing something, not that it's wrong, it's different than your partner. You're two different people. It's like looking in a mirror. That person is not like you, and you have to learn how to get along with a person that, like you said, comes from a different family. You know, because when you marry someone, you're marrying the whole family that they come from.
And the culture, whatever that culture might be.
Exactly. That's right. And you know what? It's great. I always tell people it's wonderful because you can have the best of both worlds.
That's true. That's true. If you've taken the time, and I think in our world, I mean, I have said this on my show more than once. It just seems like the world seems to be going so fast. There's so much going on, and everything is like instant. We're supposed to have this done in 30 seconds and the other done in a minute and a half, and we're literally on this time spin, and when it comes to relationships, it is, I don't care how they describe it in the movies, you can have this euphoric thing, just like we talked about earlier, but then you get down to the day-to-day reality where the woman has cramps, maybe like every month she goes through these terrible period of 5 days with her menses, it's awful, and the poor guy's saying, good Lord, I didn't know that women went through this kind of stuff. Boy, you must really be this, that, or the other. There's all of these things that come up, and we sit there and we go, this is what I'm going to have to deal with. So whether you're male or you're female, there's this adjustment. I think of one couple that I know quite well, and when they got married, the wife had been very independent, not unlike the bachelor that you were just mentioning. And she had been married before, but she had been single like for 11, 12 years. So this is a woman mm-hmm. that was totally competent. She had been doing things. She had had her family. She had raised her family. She had done all of this stuff. And she marries a man who has this idea that when you're married, you're supposed to be together all the time. And what drove her up the wall one day was that they have a two-level home. She was upstairs, and he's asking, where are you? She said, for God's sake, I'm upstairs. You're downstairs.
Right. She needs
I'm
space.
Right here.
Exactly. Yeah, that's the biggest problem I see in my practice, because they don't know how much they're supposed to spend together and how much time are they supposed to spend apart. That's a big problem for people.
Oh, yeah. It's just amazing. So these are things, you know, that's what makes your book so much fun. And I just think that your book, Make Up, Don't Break Up, and you're saying it's being released on Valentine's Day. So this is something that's going to be available. I know we're just about out of time, Dr. Bonnie. It's been so much fun having you on the air.
Oh, thank you, Donna. It's so much fun with you as well.
And your website is drbonnie.com, and that's doctor spelled out in full, and then Bonnie, B-O-N-N-I-E. And her book is going to be everywhere, so you're going to be able to pick up on it and to share it. And, you know, if you've got a couple that you're aware of, and you know that they're going through some difficult times, and something that pops into my head, we have a lot of military couples where they've been separated for long periods of time.
Oh, yes.
This would make a great gift for someone that's going to be going through big adjustments, and that's always the case. And there are so many that I have known, and this kind of a publication could really help out. But if you're wondering, if you're single and saying, I'm out there looking, why not pick up Dr. Bonnie's book? Make Up, Don't Break Up. It's
and
really
it comes to the DVD now inside the book.
Oh, great.
Yeah, Falling in Love and Staying in Love, and we have three new chapters because it's a revised edition. So I'm hoping that I can help many people, and the book has really helped me because it's got a lot of my parents' life and my patients' lives and my life with my husband, my new husband, so I've been married for 20 years now.
Well,
and so I'm hoping that it helps other people, because falling in love is easy. It's staying in love that's hard.
Yes. Yes, it is. Dr. Bonnie Weil, W-E-I-L is the spelling of her last name. The new book is Makeup, Don't Break Up, and you can go to her site, drbonnie.com. Dr. Bonnie, thank you again for being my guest. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Thanks, Donna.
You're welcome.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95, plus shipping and handling. And the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
The Northwest Women's Show, presented by Assurant Health, is a show that's all about you, your body, your spirit, your life. 400 exhibits, free samples, and best of all, shopping with fabulous women's show specials. Meet Amy Roloff from Little People Big World and cosmetic cop Paula Begon. Bring your questions to Hollywood celebrity stylist and creator of Wynn Hair Care Products, Chaz Dean. Make it a point to attend our free seminars and be inspired by topics that can change your life, like channeling your inner strength, weight loss strategies, and women's self-defense. Plus fun and trendy fashion shows from JCPenney. And backed by popular demand, Seattle's hottest firefighters. Favorite authors Ann Rule and J.A. Jantz. The Women's Show, presented by Assurant Health. March 5th through 7th at Quest Field Event Center. Sponsored by Bartell Drugs, American Family Insurance, Puget Sound Energy, Snoqualmie Casino, The Seattle Times, and King 5. For show information, go to nwwomenshow.com. The Northwest Women's Show. It's such a girl thing.
Do you want to lose weight? Do you deal with diabetes, high blood pressure, osteoporosis, or chronic pain? Do you want to know one of Dr. Perricone's 7 secrets to beauty, health, and longevity? Do you have 15 minutes a day to look and feel better? Then let me introduce you to TTAP, the workout that works. For the beginner or expert exerciser, learn from physical training specialist Teresa Tapp how, in just 15 minutes a day, you can burn fat and sugar, build strong bones and muscles, and lose inches fast with no equipment or jumping. Visit the TTAP website, ttap.com, or call 1-800-342-0717 to learn how. That's T-TAPP.com. We'll help you lose inches, look good, and feel fabulous at TTAP. 1-800-342-0717, ttap.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Telephone lines are now open, and these are worldwide. If you would like to call and give me a question that you might have, if you'd like to have a dream interpreted, whatever would be on your mind, give me a call at 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, don't forget, we're playing the Northwest Women's Show ad, and I want you to know I'm going to be in booth number 407, and on Friday, March the 5th, the first day of this phenomenal event, I'm going to be hosting a 6-speaker forum in the first hour between 1 and 4 on that Friday afternoon. The first hour, we're going to be talking about money. The second hour, we'll be talking about healing energy. And the third hour, we're going to be talking about animals. 6 women with a tremendous background, and all of that is going to be available to you. I will be interviewing them, and then we'll be taking questions from those in the audience. So if you can come up out on Friday, I would love to have you as part of the audience. Also, on Saturday and Sunday, it's on the 6th and 7th of March, I'll be speaking about your inner psychic Mirror. And that is going to be at 11:30 on Saturday and Sunday. So we've got a great lineup. And then in between that, I've got a whole slew of books that I'm going to be bringing in that we're going to have there at the show, as well as my doing many psychic consultations for anybody who wants to chat with me. So all of that is going on. It's going to be a very, very dynamic period. And there is also a trip that's going to be made to the state of Alaska. For those of you who are listening from Alaska, know I'm going to be up there around the 12th of April. I'll be both in Fairbanks and in Anchorage. And other things are evolving, too, and I will keep you informed. I may be in your area at some time in the future, and you'll be able to hear it here on the show. Meanwhile, give me a call if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756, and I'll be delighted to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight. Let me give you a quick rundown on the guests that we have coming up next week. We're going to be talking about the affordability factor, Dr. Williams, a man who's worked with a lot of people. We live in a time where so many will say, I can't afford this, I can't afford that. Well, we're going to find out what you can do with what you have, and that'll be on Monday. I believe we have a caller. Caller, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna.
Hi. What's your first name or initial, dear, and where are you calling from?
My initial is JL, and I'm calling from New York.
Where in New York? New York City?
Brooklyn, New York.
In Brooklyn. You know, I've been in New York City, but I have never made it down into Brooklyn. One of these days when I'm back there in the Big Apple, I will have to make a point of doing that. Okay, JL, let's take a little bit of positioning here in thought. And the first thing I'm looking at is, one, keep up your education. Two interviews are going to be coming up for you. Both of them are actually going to turn out quite well. What I want you to do is to look at those positions that are going to assist you in achieving what you really want to do in relationship to a business of your own in the coming 3 to 5 years. Let me give you an example. Let's say you had a passion for baking and one of your greatest desires would be to have a patisserie of some kind. So maybe you want to find a job in an environment that's going to put you with the finest and the best in the skills of baking and behind the scenes of how do you do what kind of ovens would you use, really get down into the bare bones and the nitty-gritty. But you're in with the best, and then you're able to learn from all of those people that are around you. You fine-tune what you already know. If you need to take additional classes, you take additional classes, and you are on a roll. And that is going to be so very, very important. A lot is going on with you, and your personal relationships, you feel like you're on a seesaw. You're going up, you're going down, you're going up, and you're going down. It's all going to level out by about June, July of this year. So remember something. What you've dealt with in the past, the patternings of the past, you pretty much have broken certain patterns that you have had. You've discarded them. They're no longer of value to you. And sometimes you get afraid. And so you want to go back into those old patterns. You don't need to, dear. You don't need to be afraid. You're growing up into a wonderful demonstration of yourself. And I want you to just move along and move on towards what you really, really want in your life. It is going to make a difference. Move towards what you want, not towards what you don't want. Focus on that, and you will have the directive of opportunity and the right people coming into play for you. It's going to be absolutely wonderful. It's a hard-working year, though. You're really going to be working quite hard. What did you want to ask me today?
Like you said, I think I should continue with my education, and I'm almost done with my master in psychology.
Oh, what are you getting a master's in?
In psychology.
Okay.
Child psychology.
All right.
And I am not sure what I should do, like, in terms of the coming years. Like, I'm not sure if I'm going to have more schooling or do something else, but that's why I'm calling and see what you think.
All right. I am looking at you, and I will call this something like an internship, but actually you're going to be in a regular job environment. I'd love to encourage you to find those people that utilize art and music in their teaching and educating with children with psychology.
Uh-huh.
I'd also like to see you do some investigation into levels of brain work and research.
Brain
relative
work?
Brain work and research
do you
relative
mean, like,
to children.
Speech and brain type of work?
Well, it's more than that. It is being able to understand what they have discovered in research, like with kids that have ADHD and are hyperactive, or they've been given that label because of our modern world that doesn't accept that activity as a part of a kid. There's just so much that's being discovered about brain development and the different things that can be utilized. Art and music are wonderful keys for this. I think that you have sort of gotten into a box because of what your educational format has been, and that's what the process of schooling does. So here you are, you're very close to achieving, quote-unquote, the degree, and now you say, but nothing's really been pushing my buttons. So you need to be in a working environment with other people that enable you to see how music and art and working with children in a certain way encourages them to come into that natural harmony that they should have. So I think you've got a number of choices here, but you're going to have to work in environments that will allow you to see what you really want to focus on and work into. I think if you could work in a general clinic environment where you're dealing with people from all levels of life, children from all kinds of economic backgrounds and all kinds of cultural backgrounds, I think practical, everyday working environment in that is really going to open your eyes to the real world.
Donna, I have a question related to what I just asked, which is if I do decide to get higher education and get into another program, do you think I'll get in?
Yes, but I'd recommend you take a year off,
uh-huh.
maybe 2 years, and get some practical working experience.
Okay.
You need to have the practicality, the reality of life in front of you. So
okay.
you can see variables. And then you need to look at those persons that represent the finest and the best. Doesn't mean they have the greatest amount of degrees.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to recognize the qualities of what you consider really makes a great counselor, a good teacher, a good educator. You need to look at those qualities that you admire, but you have to be able to see how they work with them in everyday life. Academia does not make you a good psychologist.
Just one last thing, because you said that I'm going to get into some sort of business. Is that business going to be related to what I'm studying or what I will be studying in the future?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Oh, great.
But you need the practical experience, JL.
Uh-huh.
You need to not just go by what's in the books.
Okay.
Because you're going to find that after you finish all of these degrees, about 90% of what you have gone through the learning process with, you're going to discard.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm into alternative type of healing. Like, I'm thinking of incorporating, like, EFT and that sort of thing into,
I think that's,
you know,
wonderful. I think
yeah.
that's absolutely wonderful. However, mm-hmm. you need the practical experience.
Okay.
So before you go in, if you wanted to, you know, if you're going for your master's, that's wonderful. If you decide you'd like to go to whatever next level is appealing to you, that's wonderful. Please get
mm-hmm.
the practical working experience, because
okay.
just having stuff in your head and learning things out of textbooks is not where the understanding and the wisdom comes from. So you need to know about those individuals who would be wonderful mentors for you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Donna.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a wonderful evening now in New York.
You too.
This
Have a great night.
Thank you, dear.
Bye-bye.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break for a moment. When we come back, that phone line is open for you if you'd like to chat, 888-815-9756. We'll be right back.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. By the way, for those of you that have had a unique experience, a paranormal experience, psychic experience, whatever term is most comfortable for you, I'd love to hear about your story. I'm putting together a book that is going to combine stories and experiences I've had and those of other individuals. So if you would like to be a contributor towards this book, we are aiming for 100 stories. We have about 25 at this time. So if you'd like your story to be considered, please send it to Donna at DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna at DelphiInternational.com. And we will also need your contact information. So when your story would be included in the book, then we might have to have a release signed form. So again, send that story to me. If you want to send it via snail mail, send it to the Donna Sebo Show, and that is at P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. Now, you may say, well, Donna, why are you putting this book together? The reason I'm wanting to put this book together is because I believe the more we can share about the experiences we have, the more it enables others to not feel intimidated by their experience and for them to realize they're not alone, that there are lots and lots of other people that have had their own happenings. And when we can share that and can talk about it openly, it makes a lot of sense. So I wanted to just put that out there. You'll hear me talking about it frequently. It's because I really want to reach this goal of 100 stories that we will have in this book. So again, send your story to me, Donna, at DelphiInternational.com. And speaking of receiving information, I got this wonderful email from someone that's interested in history. And they said, Donna, it was from Vin, what follows is very interesting, and it gives you an insight into just a few of the creative ideas that sometimes come from a burden of war. It was quite educational. I thought you might enjoy it. Now, we're going to be going back to the Second World War. We're starting in 1941, and British airmen were finding themselves as guests, involuntarily so, obviously, of the Third Reich. And the British Crown was trying to figure out ways and means that would assist these British soldiers to escape from their imprisonment. Now, one of the most helpful aids at that time was to have a very good, accurate map of whatever your environment was, and showing not only where safe houses were, but where you could find things. for your own survival, and where a prisoner of war on the lam could go for food and shelter. Now, think about this. The factor of having to deal with environments of weather. We didn't have writing pens with permanent ink like we have today. No computerization as we know of it. This is really pretty raw environment. Now, paper maps, what's the biggest drawback that they have? Well, they make a lot of noise when you open them and fold them. They're going to wear out. If they get wet, they're useless. Now, someone in MI5, it's similar to the U.S.'s OSS, got the idea of printing escape maps on silk. The silk was durable. It could be scrunched up into tiny wads and unfolded as many times as they needed to do it. Would never wear out, and it makes no noise whatsoever. Also, at that time, there was only one manufacturer in Great Britain that had perfected the technology of printing on silk, and that was John Waddington Limited. Now, when this company was approached by the government, the firm was very happy to do whatever it could for the war effort. But also, and this is fascinating, Waddington Limited was also the United Kingdom's licensee for a very popular American board game. What was that game? Monopoly. And, as it happened, games and pastimes was a category of an item qualified for insertion into care packages that were dispatched by the International Red Cross to prisoners of war. This is really fascinating stuff. Now, under the strictest of secrecy in a securely guarded and inaccessible old workshop on the grounds of Waddington's, a group of sworn to secrecy employees began mass producing escape maps keyed to each region of Germany or Italy, where the Allied POW camps were regional system. When processed, these maps could be folded into such tiny dots that they would actually fit inside of a Monopoly playing piece. We've all done Monopoly. Those little pieces are pretty small. Now, as long as they were involved in putting this clever thing together, the workmen at the company also managed to add a playing token that contained a small magnetic compass. They managed to put together a two-part metal file that could easily be screwed together. They were able to put useful amounts of genuine high-denomination German, Italian, and French currency hidden within the piles of Monopoly money. All British and American air crews were advised before taking off on their first mission how to identify a rigged Monopoly set. And it was a tiny red dot that was on it that was cleverly designed to look like it was a printing glitch located in the corner of the free parking square. Now, there were an estimated 35,000 Allied POWs who escaped from their imprisonment, and an estimated one-third were aided in their flight by the rigged Monopoly sets. Everyone who was involved in this was sworn to secrecy indefinitely, since the British government might want to use this highly successful ruse in another future war. This information wasn't declassified until 2007, when the surviving craftsmen from Waddington's, as well as the firm itself, were finally honored in a public ceremony. Now, a lot of you listening may or may not be aware of a lot of things that went on in the Second World War. But when you think about it, and if ever you have a chance to watch the movies, the creativeness of the craftsmen of this company to use a game to be able to assist POWs is absolute genius. It's absolutely marvelous. And there are backup information on this verification. It is something that shows the human mind is unlimited in what it is capable of doing. Donna Sebo here. Give me a buzz if you'd like to chat. 888-815 800-288-9756. And what did I want? Oh, I wanted to tell you about the rest of my guests next week. Also, I told you about the affordability factor on Monday. On Tuesday, we're going to be talking about kids. Dr. Swanson, help. My kids are driving me crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, how do you deal with kids? Well, I think there's as many solutions as there are opportunities for exercising them. And there's just as many variables of choice as you could imagine as there are people on this planet. But we're going to be finding out some very good tips from Dr. Swanson. And then a lovely, lovely woman, Kay Meridian, an Armenian woman who is honoring her mother through her beautiful book, A Gift in the Sunlight. It's a historical novel, but it is based on her mother's real life experience, that of her mother and her family during 1918, when the Death March was done. You know, so often we hear about things that are going on throughout the world today and we think it's something new, and the reality is it is not. But her story will really touch your heart and your mind. And then on the 18th, we're going to be talking about the birth and death of the cool. Ted is going to be my guest, Ted Gioia. This is a man that was going to be tripping the light fantastic back into the 1960s when all of the, it was an era, it was a time frame that had its particular persona, and we're going to be discussing that. And then, on the 19th, the full plate diet, Dr. Teresa Sherrard. Oh, this is fascinating. This is a wonderful publication talking about, hey, instead of just worrying about what you're putting in your mouth, look at what's on your plate, but more than that, deal with certain issues that are very practical, very down to earth. You can take them with you anywhere, at any time, in any place. So we've got a great lineup of guests next week, and we will be having also, again, the opportunity to chat with you. So if you want to give me a buzz right now, 888-815-9756. I want to just share a little bit of information with you about climate engineering. I came across this article, and I have had discussions with different people through the years. In fact, with somebody at BBS, we were discussing this just a little bit, and how the climate, we've heard about rainmakers, we've heard about this, that, and the other, but this is really real stuff. And there are Chinese and Russian scientists and American scientists, too, who claim they can make it rain or snow on command. Well, if you study the Native American history, the Hopi Indians have their rain dance that would bring in storms. There are so many different cultures throughout the world that have talked about how nature will respond to certain things. And there was a very famous rainmaker, I don't recall his name right at the moment, that created storms because he knew how to mix chemicals. In fact, he caused such a storm in San Diego that they refused to pay him because there was so much rain, San Diego almost floated away permanently. So we have this, but would you imagine wind-powered ocean vessels spray seawater to create clouds to reflect sun rays? How about space mirrors, orbiting lenses, diffusing the sun's rays? Aerosols, blimps, blasting chemicals into the stratosphere to reflect the sun rays. Artificial trees, carbon-eating trees that absorb CO2 from the air and store it underground. You know, people's imagination is phenomenal. And these are things that have been talked about for a long time. Let me just give you some information here. In 1824, Thomas Jefferson called for an index of the American climate to monitor the effects of massive forest clearing and marsh draining. Jefferson was concerned that long ago because he knew it could have detrimental effects. And in the 1880s, there was a man by the name of James Espy, the first national meteorologist, proposing lighting huge fires along the Appalachian Mountains to control and enhance the nation's waterfall. Control, control, control. We humans always want to do it. Well, I've got so much more information that I'll share with you at another time. But these are things that go on. We are always looking and trying to expand our world. But remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't be afraid to explore new ideas. Don't be afraid to reach out and be a part of this experience called life. Computers are great. Technology is wonderful. But the human connection is richer and more special than you could ever imagine. Don't disassociate from it. Realize that for you to be able to share your gifts of spirit, soul, and self, you're going to have to be able to interact with others. And a keyboard is okay, but one-on-one is even better. For all of you, I hope you have a fabulous Valentine's Day, a wonderful weekend. If you're in the Pacific Northwest, I don't think you're going to need a kayak, but be prepared. We're going to be dripping. And for the rest of you in the country that are experiencing some snow and storms and all this other stuff going on, take care, be wise, don't be in a hurry. Enjoy your loved ones. Enjoy and count your blessings. This is Donna Sebo. We'll be back with you right here on BBSRadio.com. Same time, same place. Talk with you on Monday. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.